I am a product of the age of rationalism. I like to figure things out. When I was a kid, if it was broke, I'd take it apart. I'm still a kid. I could figure out what was wrong. Sometimes I could fix it, and almost every time I could get it back together. When I was 14, the transmission went out in our Mercury, and an automatic. I hate automatics, so Dad and I went down to the junkyard, and we pulled a stick shift out of an LTD that had been wrecked, and then he abandoned the project, and I put it all back together, and it actually worked. Built my first computer. I've given up on that. I don't know what makes them work now. I hate Microsoft Word, but I love WordPerfect. Can anybody guess why? It has that little Alt-F3 that I can look under the hood and tell what it's doing. I always want to know what's going on behind the scenes. When I was 17, I felt a call to the ministry. And so I figured I needed to take the same approach to theology, teaching, the gospel, the cross. What I needed to do was take it all apart into all of its little pieces, figure out how each piece worked so I could explain it so well that nobody could miss it. And of course, you would all accept it because it's right. Reminds me of a day I was in a commercial airliner coming back to Phoenix, and they happened to fly right along the north side of Glen Canyon Dam and Lake Powell. I remember looking down at this flat rock landscape, and it looked like, you know, you could rollerblade across it. Except every once in a while there was these deep, narrow slot canyons that you couldn't get across, and you couldn't see till you got to them. I remember reading about Powell and the first expedition down the Colorado River through Glen Canyon and Grand Canyon. And every once in a while, one of the men in the boats would say, "Enough of these rapids, I'll never live through this canyon," and they'd climb out and try to hike to safety. And because of those lousy slot canyons and side canyons, they would end up wandering in the desert till they died. Not one man who climbed out of the expedition lived, and not one man who stayed with the boats died. It seems like you run into these chasms you can't get across. I feel that way when I try to understand the cross. When I try to understand the cross, I can figure a lot of things out. I've been in this church 10 years. My church members know I can preach for hours on the cross. They've had to endure it. And the more I try to figure it out, the more I learn, and the more I discover more of those slot canyons that have unfathomable depths that I cannot rationally figure out. Have you figured yourself out? Do you ever amaze yourself? Why am I doing this? Why am I thinking this way? What's making me react this way? The other night, Marilyn and I had a little altercation. And I don't know, she said something and I reacted in a way. And then she wanted to know why I reacted that way. And I just laid back there on my pillow and was thinking, why am I acting this way? I don't know, but I sure feel this way. When we look at ourselves, we understand some things, but there are those slot canyons that we can't figure out. Stuff going on way down deep that doesn't make sense. When we look at our world and the evil in the world, you know, every generation thinks that the old fogies just don't have it figured out, but wait till we take it on. And then by the time we're about 50, we discover we haven't really helped things, we've only dug things deeper. The baby boomers. I'm right in the middle of the baby boomers. We looked at our parents, the silent generation, the ones that won the wars that gave us the prosperity we have, and we thought, we're not going to do it like them, you know. Most of us were raised in secure, stable, unhappy homes. The love was gone, the romance was out, but they were solid and they were going to stick it out until they died. And we said, enough of that, of this monogamous misery. We're going to have sex, drugs, and rock and roll, free love. We are going to live it up. We're going to experience things. We're going to improve things. And we sure have, haven't we? We now have unstable, unhappy homes for our kids. And kind of a serial polygamy. I look back at my generation and I say, we haven't figured out the human problem yet. We just dug some of those canyons deeper and wider. And every generation thinks they're going to change things, and none of us can quite get it figured out. I haven't figured out myself yet, and I don't think I've figured out the cross. Now, you know, we use things all the time. We don't know how they work, right? How did you get here tonight? Do you know all about why your car works and how it works? No, and you don't care, right? See, I do. I want to know how it works, but I can't figure it out anymore because of all the electronics. But you may not know how it works, but you know how to work it. Correct? And the copy machine at work, and the computer, and all the rest of the stuff in our lives. We don't know how they work, but we know how to work them. And this is where I'm heading with this discussion. We have a problem, I believe, if we're willing to be honest with ourselves, that is bigger than we can handle. We can't figure our own selves out, right? Have you figured out why you can't kick that habit? Why you can't lose some of that weight? Why you're still struggling with lust or pornography? Why you can't control your thoughts? We have a problem if we're willing to admit that's bigger than we are, bigger than we can handle, and bigger than we can comprehend. And then we come to the cross. And I hear people say, well, I don't understand that. I can't figure out how that works. Well, I want to suggest something here. If the problem is bigger than you can handle or comprehend, wouldn't it make sense that a solution big enough to handle the problem would also have some aspects you could not comprehend? We need a solution bigger than the problem, and we need a solution bigger than we can comprehend. So I've begun to believe it's not such a bad thing that I can't figure out everything about how Jesus could be divine and human, how he could take my sins when I haven't even committed them yet. Some of them. I've committed plenty, but there's probably some in the future too for you and me. How 2,000 years ago could God take sin and put it on Jesus? How can that pay for my death? People look at Jesus and they say, well, he can be a good man, but this God thing. And the resurrection from the dead, how does that work? I don't know. But I need a solution that big to a problem as big as me and as you and as us. Does that make sense? So when I contemplate the cross, I see at least a couple of important things today. Number one, when I look at the cross, such a monstrous, atrocious, evil, incredible, intense, awful thing as looking at what Jesus went through from Gethsemane to Calvary. It tells me God must be trying to solve something that's really intense. That there must be a human problem that's more than a cosmetic problem. It must go all the way down into our systems. Beyond self-help books, It's a life and death issue. It requires a transplant, not a bandage. There must be something really wrong in a really big way for God to go to such lengths to try to solve it, and for evil to go to such lengths to try to stop him from solving it. Now, I don't understand it all, but the cross tells me there must be a really big problem. The other thing the cross tells me today is the length of God's love. The length that God will go, the level that he must value us, the risk that he took, the humility, the vulnerability, the discomfort, the condescension. We must be incredibly valuable to God for him to go to such lengths. And remember, Jesus is not some third party that God kicked because he was mad at us. Jesus is God. And God himself bears the affront that we have towards him and the rebellion that is in our hearts. A couple of verses of scripture. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for whom? Does that apply to you? You meet yourself, your ungodly self now and then? For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. There's nothing more a person can give for you than their life. And God went that far. God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Think about it. If God is capable of creating with a word anything, then there is nothing in the universe that has any value, really, because he can always make more of it. Except himself. I don't quite understand it, but God gave all he could possibly give for us. In the book of Ephesians, and you who are dead in your trespasses and sins, have you ever felt like you were so cycling in the stuff of your own life that it was just kind of a dead circle? While dead in trespasses and sins in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. In other words, you were following after the dark side, among whom also we once conducted ourselves. That word conducted means to kind of go in circles. Circling ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath, just as others. That's a pretty bad mess we're in. But God, who's rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins. Notice, God loves us while we're a mess, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God looks down at us and he says, you're dead. I love you. You're so dead you can't get yourself out of where you are. I will give everything I have because I have one desire. I desire to have you with me and to lavish you with my love and kindness for eternity. And he gives everything he possibly can give. Paul says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's not a rational statement. That's an emotional statement. Paul looks at himself and says, I'm a mess and God loves me. Wow. And if you think you can figure that out, you're one of these guys who thinks you can figure out love. And that means your lover is probably living a pretty lonely life because you're a machine. We'll never figure all this out. But one thing we can learn, we have to accept the mystery. If your life doesn't have any mystery, you're dull. Isn't that right? Ladies? You'd agree with that probably more than the guys. I like these words from Michael Card, one of his songs, give up on your pondering and fall on your knees. It's Some of you here today may have said, I just can't believe that Jesus thing. I can't believe that cross thing. I can't understand that. That doesn't make sense. Okay. But is God telling you there's some truth there that you'll never comprehend? It's a car you may not be able to understand, but you can drive it all the way to eternity because it's real. You know, if there's nothing bigger than you can understand, then you're God, and we're all in trouble. So, there's some bad news. There's a problem bigger than you. There's a problem bigger than you can handle, a problem bigger than you can comprehend. There's some good news. There's a solution that's bigger than you are. There's a solution that's bigger than the problem and bigger than you can comprehend. To confess, the Bible says we have to confess, is to admit the bad news. To believe is to grab on to the good news. If you slipped over the edge of the Grand Canyon and you're hanging on with your fingernails to a little ledge and you yell for help and over the top of the edge comes a rope and you're hanging on there and you're saying, I don't know who's at the other end of that rope. I don't know if that rope's strong enough to hold me. I don't know if the person at the top is strong enough to pull me up when I grab on. You can analyze and fall to your death. Or you can grab and release and see what happens. If the rope isn't good enough, you're dead anyway. If the rope is good enough, you're going to come out on top. I don't understand the cross fully. I don't think I have to. I don't understand myself fully, and I live with myself. My wife doesn't understand me fully, and she lives with me for over 28 years now. My church doesn't fully understand me, and they've put up with me for 10 years. Life isn't all rational. There's some faith involved. And today, if the music and the words has touched your heart and somehow beyond the rational, not less than the rational, but more than the rational, beyond the rational, God has said this is real and it's for you. I want to invite you to grab the rope. Grab the hope if the Spirit is speaking to your heart. The hope of Calvary. I want to invite you to bow your heads, and I want to pray with you for a moment. Dear Jesus, we come from an age that wants everything to be figured out rationally, and it leaves our souls dry. Today I'm asking you to speak to our hearts about things bigger than we are, that can solve the problem that's bigger than we are. I ask your Holy Spirit to speak to hearts, stubborn hearts here today, our hearts, so that we can know a truth that's bigger than we are and actually experience a salvation that, praise the Lord, is bigger than we can comprehend. Now I'd like to ask everyone to keep their eyes closed and their heads bowed to provide the privacy for everyone they deserve. And I want to ask you to consider, if you have not committed your life to Jesus Christ before, and the music, the words, the Holy Spirit have touched your heart to say, I want to grab the hope. Not because I figured it out, but because I need that big of a solution, and something tells me it's right. I want to give you a chance to just slip your hand up for a moment and acknowledge that decision for Jesus Christ today. I see your hand. Yes. Okay. Amen. I see you, sir. Anyone else? Yes, in the back. All right. I see your hand. Please keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Allow people the privacy they deserve. We'll just take a moment. And you can simply pray with me quietly to yourself, "Dear Jesus, I accept the incredible reality that's too good to be true. I need something that big. I confess my need. I choose to put my faith in your solution. I grab the rope. I grab the hope. Give me the salvation that you offer to everyone in the cross, and I receive it now. In Jesus' name, amen." If you made a decision today, or you make one during the last couple of songs, there's going to be a prayer team right up over here on this side, over against the windows, immediately following the program. They would love to meet with you for a moment. They have a little gift for you, something to help you in your walk with Jesus, and some encouragement and prayer for you. So while everyone is exiting, you can just quietly make your way down, and our prayer team would love to pray with you for a few moments. Please enjoy the rest of the concert.